Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling alongside with Joe Blewett, and we have another jam-packed show for you tonight. So much to talk about, so many negatives, and a little bit of positive that we can take from the Denver game, as the New York Jets losing streak has hit 5 for the first time in the Rex Ryan era. Fans hitting the panic button weeks ago. Fans now, you know, starting to realize that the season could be for loss, especially this week. You're going to face Tom Brady and the Patriots on a short week. We'll get to that. I mean, let's look at this game first and foremost to start the show. The Jets come into this game about 10-point underdogs at home. That everybody was thinking and had it on their mind that there was going to be a blowout. And from the start, right out of the gate, the defense showed you heart. They showed you that they were in it to play. They showed you they were in the game. They wanted to win the game. I was very impressed with Rex Ryan's scheme that he drew up for this game against Peyton Manning. I thought Peyton looked flustered to start the game. I thought the Jets were very much in the game. They were in the game till the end. It was a touchdown game all the way up until the last the last 2 minutes with the pick six from Aqib Talib. So I thought there were some good things to take away. I thought Geno Smith, you know, it was such an up-and-down game. I mean, the offense just doesn't look comfortable. From the beginning of the year, we saw a Raiders game where the offense, when everyone's like, wow, they look light years ahead of where they were last year. First half of the Packers game, everybody's ready to put Geno Smith in the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. And then from there on, it's been a disaster. And, you know, you saw things from Geno Smith that you said, wow, you know, it's a good play. You know, making some plays, not getting help from his wide receivers. You liked what you saw from Jason Morrow, 10 catches and a touchdown. So you saw the tight ends get involved a little bit more. I mean, when it comes down to it, push comes to shove, the New York Jets cannot get out of their own way. They got the big stop. What do you get? A three and out. You're still having problems in special teams with punt returners. You're still having problems on defense at points and times. Now with the running game, now you watch Peyton Manning hand the ball off and, you know, get chunks and chunks of yards. So, I mean, it just came down to it. Sunday was a matter of this. In my opinion, Sunday where the Jets came into that game 10-point underdogs, and they lost the game to a better team. I don't think the Jets lost that game. I think the Broncos beat them. I think Denver made more plays to win the game than the Jets did. Did they have a chance to come back and win it and tie it at the end? Of course. But, you know, you get the ball back on your own 2-yard line. What is Geno going to do? So you look at some positives, the defense, the way they played. But the negative here is you're a 1-5 football team going into a short week. You don't know where you stand. The question that is on everybody's mind is, who do you blame? Before we do that, my man Joe, what did you take from the game on Sunday?
There are some bad things. There are some good things. I think it's about even. I went to the game on Sunday. You know, I got there at my usual time, 8:30. Was tailgating with a couple of my friends, and I expected a blowout. I didn't expect to be too excited for the game. I didn't expect the Jets to be really in the game. But they actually impressed me with some stuff. We're still having problems with the run game. The offensive line was absolutely atrocious. It was one of the worst performances I've seen from our line in a couple of years. Like you said, though, it was a better team beating us. It wasn't like the Lions game where we beat ourselves, or the Bears game or the Packers game. So there's definitely some positives. Like you said, that Jason Morrow had 10 receptions and 68 yards and a touchdown. So there were some positive things. I like that Marty was using him a little bit more diversely. He was putting him out wide and things like that. The Jets are still having problems with forcing turnovers. Again, we come out of the game with 0 turnovers. You see things such as Babin getting 36 snaps compared to Copel's 34. So you wonder if Babin's going to have a more prominent role in this defense and if he's going to start to play more, because Copel's, honestly, other than those two clothesline plays against the Lions and then against the Chargers and against the Raiders, he really hasn't shown up too much. Like you said, with the muffed punt, that's us hurting ourselves again. We need to find
It's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing.
We need to find a punter who could catch the ball. I rather have, you know, fair catch Curly back there if he's going to catch the ball, than having guys like Saunders or Powell or, you know, Salim Hakeem run it back to the 15 on kickoff. So there's a lot of negatives, but there were some positives too. Like I said before, you know, Decker looked good. Jason Morrow looked good. We only had 2 penalties for 9 yards, so that was positive. Phillip Adams played decently well for being a cast off from the Seahawks
for being,
and the Raiders.
You know, for being Phillip Adams, you mean?
Exactly. You had Sheldon. And Wilkerson playing good. Even Babin, I thought, was pretty impressive. He actually impressed me in the run game the other day. Even though we got destroyed in the run game, but usually you see Babin, he doesn't really give too much effort in the run game. But it looked like he was trying to take over that outside linebacker spot from Coples, which as of right now it seems like he might. So there's a lot of things. And another positive I took out of it that is that the Jets held Peyton Manning to only 237 yards in the air, and that was his lowest total since week 12 of last year. So our defense, other than the run game, our secondary showed me a little bit more than I thought I would see.
I thought it was a great scheme, Joe. I don't know about you. I mean, I really liked how they didn't go after Peyton Manning in terms of blitzing. Rex Ryan picked his spots. He didn't over blitz. He dropped back eight. He let three guys rush the passer. I thought it was a good job by Rex Ryan drawing up a scheme and putting a secondary in the best spot they could possibly be in. I really did. I thought that, you know, that was something to take away from in terms of a positive. I thought Rex drew up a good game plan. And again, it came down to a better team, one of the best teams in the NFL, if not the best team in the NFL, led by Peyton Manning, making plays to win the game. The third down play to Welker to close it out. I mean, that's what it comes down to. So let's go to Anthony, who wants to talk about John Idzik and his plan. Go ahead, Anthony. You're on Jet Nation Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
You know, I just wanted to talk about, you know, John Idzik has been saying he has this nice long-term plan, and, you know, that's all well and good. But I wanted to know your opinion on if you think he kept Rex Ryan around this year to just be his scapegoat, because you know how the New York fans and media are with these long-term plans if they don't work. So I'm thinking that he kept Rex here so he could throw him to the curb so he could buy an extra year for this so-called plan of his.
Well, you know something, Anthony? I don't agree with that. I think that's in my opinion, I think that's nonsense. I don't think that a GM would ever keep a coach around because he wants to put him out there to be a scapegoat and watch him fail. Because guess what? When this year ends and the Jets record ends and the fans are disappointed, the owner is not going to be just disappointed in the head coach. The owner is going to be disappointing in John Idzik. And one thing that I looked at, and I said it from the beginning, I said it when the show started, I was very disappointed in the offseason for the Jets. And the one thing I was disappointed with the most was the way that John Idzik handled the secondary. You're going to tell me, I mean, when you go in and you're going to fire, if you want to fire Rex Ryan because the team looks lackadaisical, they're getting penalties all over the place, they look unmotivated out there, they look like a team that's not ready to play, those are bases to fire Rex Ryan. But how can you justify firing a coach who is trotting out a defense, and this week against – he's going into Thursday – the Jets are going in to Thursday night football against Tom Brady and the Patriots, prime time CBS, Deion Sanders with his tuxedo on, his purple bow tie, ready to go. And you know what the Jets are trotting out on defense? They're trotting out Phillip Adams, Darren Walls, and Antonio Allen to go up against Tom Brady and the Patriots. You know whose fault that is? That's the general manager.
That is John Idzik.
Okay? You know what they're trotting out on offense? You got Greg Salas is your primary number two receiver. You know what else they're trotting out on offense? An offensive line that looks beat up and old. You know who's responsibility?
And we're not going to have Salas this week, most likely.
Right. So there's no depth on this team. So why? So you're going to fire a head coach who has been given – you're asking a guy – it's like asking someone to drive a car with no engine in it. You know what Rex Ryan's trying to do right now? He's trying to push. He's trying to put this team in neutral, and he's trying to push them. There's no key starter. There's nobody that can drive this team. There's nobody that we're going to watch on Thursday Night Football and go, look out for this guy. The only person you're going to do that is Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson. And as we're seeing, these teams know how to beat the Jets. Pound on the offensive line, double team them up front, we can still run the football and open up a pass game against a mediocre to sit. I think Alabama might have a better depth in their secondary than the Jets. And do you know whose fault that is? It's I'm so and I said it from the beginning. People made fun of me. People made fun of me for making such a big deal about Brandon Flowers. People made fun of me for making such a big deal about Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, Werner, all the guys who went out there. You had a cornerback. It was like Christmas for corners, this free agency. And do you know who the Jets added? Dimitri Patterson, who didn't even show up to a preseason game. It's a joke. So what are you going to fire Rex Ryan for? You're going to fire him for not winning with a mediocre roster and you being $21 million under the cap? I mean, come on. Go ahead, Anthony.
No, I completely agree. I mean, I think what Rex Ryan did last year was even the Hall of Fame worthy, winning eight games with that team. It's like, it's unbelievable. I totally agree with your point on Flowers and Rodgers-Cromartie and the fact that, you know, there's news leaked out that he not only didn't give these guys, you know, offers, he lowballed them.
Right.
You know, and I think that's amazing.
I think it's amazing because for what reason are you going to sit here? Do you think that $21 million you're sitting here under the cap right now do you think that would obviously make your roster better? Of course. And what is your plan is, well, we're not going to spend a lot of money this year because we got people coming off the cap. That's great. So let's sign players that we know can't get the job done and are proven to not win on the football field. Let's save our money for them rather than go out and try and build a talented team and put a roster. I mean, this roster, and you have to take into consideration something else that a lot of people aren't talking about. The Jets went 8-8 last year. The Jets also played off a third. The schedule in the NFL usually goes by where you place in terms of your division. You get a first-place schedule. You get a second-place schedule. And then the third-place schedule. That's why they get their parity in the NFL, because if you finish third place this year, you're going to have an easier schedule next year. The Jets finished 8-8 and in second place last year, and where they finished among the rank, they finished the top teams like the Steelers, like the Cowboys. They finished the top in the draft. They think they picked 18th. So
yeah,
they're playing. That's why they have a much tougher schedule, because the NFL put them in a second place tier schedule against competitive teams. So you're trotting out a roster that you completely dismantled the secondary. You added Eric Decker, who has played well when he's been on the field this year, and he looks great. But where's the help? Where are all these guys? And I'm sorry, and I know Joe, you know, gets on, you know, says that it's too early to judge a draft class. I mean, what guy out of this draft, outside of maybe Jason Morrow and Calvin Pryor, are you going to say, wow, you know, this guy really is making it? I mean, these guys aren't even on the field. They're not even showing. They're not even. Some of these guys aren't even on the Jets anymore. And this is
we drafted three receivers in the fourth round. One is cut, one is on IR, and one is facing a domestic violence issue on our practice squad.
Exactly.
Those are the receivers John and put on this team.
And is that Rex Ryan's fault? I mean, are we going to fire?
Oh, absolutely,
I mean,
absolutely.
And that's
not
why I actually believe, I truly believe, that there is a chance, and I'm telling you right now, and I might be crazy, I think there is a chance that Rex Ryan survived this year and the general manager doesn't. I really do.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at Marvin Lewis. I think you're looking at, like, look how long Marvin Lewis has been in Cincinnati for. That's what
you
have Rex Ryan here. Go ahead, Joe.
You guys are making a good point. I definitely don't think that Izik would be gone and Rex Ryan wouldn't. I don't think there's no way that Izik would be gone after 2 years. But you guys make a great point about him bringing in some lack of talent. And, you know, for as far as it goes for receivers in the corners, it doesn't even have to be a guy like a Werner or like a DeSean Jackson. But as of right now, when you have David Nelson as your number two, who's not producing at all, and a guy like Greg Salas is your number two, a guy like even a Jericho Cotchery, a Jason Avant, or even if we re-signed Antonio Cromartie, definitely wouldn't hurt us. So I definitely see your guys' point about that, where Izik dropped the ball. And you have to blame him for that. You can't blame Rex for going out there right now. And obviously you can't blame Izik totally too, because you don't expect Dimitri Patterson to go AWOL, even though we didn't expect a lot from him. You can't expect McDougal and Milner to get injured, even though they did have injury history. But we needed more depth at these skill positions, and even at the line right now, because our offensive line is struggling. immensely. You guys have guys like Winters who are getting beat. It seems like every play. We have guys like Giacomini and Cologne who are getting penalties. So I do see your guys' point. We do have a lot of free agents to sign next year, but spending an extra $4 or $5 million wouldn't have hurt this at the skill positions when you have guys like Salas and Nelson as your 2 and 3 in some of these games.
Right, and I understand where you're coming from, Joe, in terms of, you know, well, you can't expect this, you can't expect that, but you have to. You, as a general manager, you have to prepare for the worst and hope for the best, and the Jets didn't do that. They put their guys out there and said, well, we don't need to sign these guys. We got, you know, you were going to go into the season banking off of a second-year player who can't stay healthy and was so shaky last year, you know, up and down, up and down. You're going to go another injury-prone guy from Miami who can't stay on the field and an injury-prone college player in the third round. And that's what you're going to – I mean, why – can somebody answer my question? Why is Champ Bailey still sitting on his couch watching TV? Why hasn't he been brought in for a workout? Where's Asante Samuel? I mean, where are these guys who you're going to go out and you're going to pick off the Seahawks practice squad? That's awesome. That's great. Congratulations. It's really a bang-up job by the general manager. Well, you know, the Seahawks won the Super Bowl last year, so maybe they have some talented guys on their practice squad. It's a joke. It's a joke. The roster that is put into place this year with $21 million under the cap is a joke. And I'm blaming the general manager because guess what? Everybody else went out and they made their teams better. New England made their teams better. Buffalo made their team better. Miami even went out and signed some guys and made their team better. And what did the Jets do? They signed Eric Decker. They signed an injury-prone cornerback from Miami who didn't even step on the field. I mean, by week 3 of the preseason, when this guy was going AWOL, wouldn't you think, wow, I really made a mistake here. What can I do to improve it? What can I do to fix my mistake? You know what he did?
Yes, and it's the GM's job to act quickly in that situation. I saw it earlier in the offseason when he signed Patterson and he drafted McDougal and he had a healthy Milner, at least for the start of camp. I could see his plan. Like, I could understand it. But you have to, as a general manager in the National Football League, you have to account for these things. Yes, you don't see the AWOL thing. But you can't put all your eggs in that basket of an injury-riddled cornerback, D. Milner, to, you know, be your number one and not get hurt. You can't count on the guy, Dimitri Patterson, who also hasn't played that many games in the last couple of years. And then you draft the guy out of Maryland in the third round who's just coming off an injury. Like, I see the plan, but you have to account for these things. And look, the worst-case scenario happened, and you have to be able to act accordingly, and he's not acting accordingly.
Right. Look at the guys they're trotting out this week against New England. Look at the secondary players that are coming out there. I mean, look at the guys they put. Rex Ryan against Peyton Manning and the Broncos last week, they should have carried him off the field as if he won the Super Bowl for not losing that game 75-0. They should have. I mean, Peyton Manning had his worst game since week 12 of last year against Phillip Adams, Darren Walls, Antonio Allen, the murderer's row out there in the secondary, and Peyton Manning is struggling. Why? Because Rex Ryan's a great coach. I don't care what anybody says. And he's, again, the Jets right now, Rex, in my opinion, Rex Ryan is pushing a team in neutral. He has no engine in this car. There's nobody out there that's going to make a stand. I think this team right now is so desperate this week. Where guess what? I'll get to it later in the show. I actually think they have a good shot to win this week at New England. Because guess what? I think that the coach, Rex Ryan, has played these guys before. They've played them so many times. They know the ins and outs of what they do. New England just came off of 2 brutal injuries for the year. And the Jets are coming into this game where it's, if you don't win this week, when is it eventually going to be? Because a team, regardless if their coach is a master motivator, when does a team finally say, you know what, we're 1-6. I just don't even know why I'm showing up right now. Other than a paycheck, why am I here? And that could be a problem. And that could lead to Rex Ryan being fired. But when Woody Johnson evaluates, or whatever you want to call it, evaluates at the end of this season, what is he going to say? He's going to say, well, was my head coach given the tools to win and plan accordingly and win with this football team? And if he says yes, then we got problems at the top. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah, not even to mention, Brandon, that guys like Sheldon Richardson are already coming out and saying that they're frustrated and they're getting upset with this 1-5 record. We're gonna have to come out this week. We usually show up against Tom Brady, so I agree. We're gonna talk about it later, but we do have a shot. But even trading for a guy like Mike Williams from the Bills right now, who doesn't seem to be happy with getting scratched from the game last week against the Patriots. You know, he's a rookie. He had 65 catches for 964 yards, I believe, 11 touchdowns. So why not send out a fifth round pick or even a fourth round pick for a guy like Mike Williams, who is much better in my opinion than a guy like Greg Salas or David Nelson. So I think that John Isaac is gonna had to step up and make a move like that to improve the roster. But at the same time, you obviously can't plan for top three or guys going down. Obviously, I know that he didn't address it as much as he should have. I understand that. But and I'm not comparing our corners or anything like that to the Bears. But what happens to the Bears if Alshon Jeffries, Brandon Marshall, and Holmes went down? You know, so I understand that Dimitri Patterson obviously wasn't an answer. Every Jets fan when he was signed was kind of like, who? Like, who is that guy? You know, it's. He to say he's a journeyman is gracious. He's never really shown up in this league, but I understand what you're saying about Rex. He's a great defensive coach, but at what point do fans get are they going to get tired with the offense not showing up and him just not being part of the offense? I understand.
But who is going to show up though? Who is there to show up? Again, you're trotting out mediocre players.
I get that, Brandon.
And it's a joke. And also, off your point, Joe, and then I'll let you finish, is one thing that I said from the beginning here was, from the beginning, when this offseason started, you know, you had question marks at every single one of these corners. And I said that, and everybody said, well, you can't. I first said it was D. Milner and then bust after that. Yeah, D. Milner and then who knows. You had question marks. You 1, 2, and 3 are question marks. Wouldn't you want to solidify the corner position by going out and getting a top cornerback? Wouldn't you want to solidify that part of your defense that you know Rex Ryan loves to bring the house and you got to have back-end corners that can cover? Wouldn't you want to go out and bring somebody in, regardless if – even if Milner, Dimitri Patterson, and McDougal were trotting out there this week, would that still make you feel comfortable in your secondary? It wouldn't make me.
Oh, I think that Rex Ryan was relying on his scheme a little bit too much. Like, obviously, we saw last week he actually did pretty good against Peyton Manning. I definitely agree with you that Isaac didn't bring enough, skill positions in this offseason, so I definitely see your point there. But I just think that fans are starting to get tired with, you know, a top-10 defense and a bottom-10 offense. So I think if this year, if the Jets keep going like they are and they finish at a 5-11 mark or even a 4-12 or even a 6-10, that fans are going to get tired and they're not going to be too sad for Rex to leave, because half the people I know love Rex and the other half hate him. So it's going to be rough because I do have a soft spot. Yeah, I have a soft spot for Rex. I like Rex. I like how he motivates the players. But sitting at all these games, I get season tickets. I pay my money to buy them, and I love the defense. Defense is my favorite part of the game. But when the offense comes out, I'm not talking about last week, because last week they actually played decently for only having 31 rushing yards. But when they come out and lay an egg, you know, you have to look at guys like Rex Ryan. I understand he doesn't have the talent, but he's a coach, and I understand that it's Isaac at the end of the day who signs the people. I mean, signs of free agents like the receivers, like the DeSean Jacksons, like those guys. But Rex also has a part in this, so I understand your point. But I'm tired with the offense being
right, but
horrendous.
But how? But who are you bringing in to change that? Who are you gonna? You think you're gonna bring in? You could bring Bill Walsh back from the dead and have him coach this offense right now, and they're not going anywhere. Okay, it doesn't. Yeah. It is. Think if you. They should thank their lucky stars for Rex Ryan, because otherwise you're trotting out mediocre players on both sides of the ball, and your team's competing with. They've been in every single game this year outside of the San Diego game. So I mean, again, it's so. I get where you're coming from, and I get where you're saying about the offense, but eventually you have to put the – let me tell you something. Everybody talks about Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is a defensive-minded coach, and Bill Belichick does pretty much what Rex Ryan does. He lets his offense coordinate. That's why the offense coordinator has always gone out and get jobs. Now, do they succeed when they leave New England? No, but – Bill Belichick takes his defense, he coaches up his defense, and guess what? He has a Hall of Fame quarterback generating, running his offense. So if you gave Rex Ryan a top 15 quarterback and an offense that doesn't throw for 70 yards and rush for 100 one week and then throw for 210 or 180 or whatever it was and rush for 10 yards or whatever it was, I mean, that's the problem. There's no consistency on offense. There's no talent on offense. There's no talent on defense. You're looking at it again. A depleted roster, $21 million under the cap. It's time to point the finger at the general manager because he did not give Rex Ryan and this football team the tools to win this year. He basically said, I'm going to save my money for next year. I'm going to sign my top guys. I'm going to evaluate my team after this year and build for next year. And in New York, buddy, that doesn't fly, okay? It doesn't happen. But, Anthony, I want to thank you for the call. I believe first-time caller, right?
Yes, first-time caller.
All right, my man. We hope to hear from you soon. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Anthony.
Talking about John Idzik. Let's go right to Zach, who wants to talk about the overall stance of Gang Green. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Crazy game on Sunday. I was actually there personally up close, as you can tell by my voice. Just screamed it throughout the whole game. I just wanted to discuss, you know, with the overall, you know, the performance of the Jets, you know, how do you think, you know, they perform so far as a team? And do you think this team has potential to, you know, make a good run for the end of this year and then to start off next year on a good mark?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. They have potential. It's just the inconsistency. It's the ways that they're beating themselves with the penalties, starting off on first and 15, and then just hurting ourselves. We definitely have potential. You see the potential in the defensive line. There's games where you see potential in Geno. A lot of fans aren't sure about him. But there's definitely a chance to make a run. I don't know if we're going to finish 9-7, be like it's a wild card, but 7-9, 8-8 looks like it could be a possibility. We don't have teams like the Bears, like the Lions, like the Packers. Instead, we have teams like the Vikings, like the Bills a couple times, the Dolphins, the Steelers, the Titans. So there's definitely potential to make there's a lot of potential to make a run at the end of this year. And there's definitely potential for next year, but the thing I'm wondering about with Rex, I know there's a lack of talent and all that stuff, but you see the lack of discipline, you see the inconsistency, and I'm starting to wonder if that's him, if that's the GM, if that's the owner. There's a lot of questions with his team, so I see the potential, but at the same time, there's a lot of question marks.
Yeah, and also, you know, with the general manager, John Idzik, you know, personally, I honestly think he's pretty much done a very horrible job. You know, he had the opportunity to bring in all these guys with these cornerbacks, you know, these receivers, and even now the talent's not even there. I mean, you have Decker, and you know, Salas is now he's likely to be out for them against the Patriots.
Yep.
I know this year making the postseason is a big long shot, and everyone has the Jets, you know, not even winning, you know, any more games for this season. But in your guys' estimation, do you guys think that, you know, do you guys somehow see Geno Smith being the quarterback next year for the Jets? And do you think the Jets still believe in an organization, you know, do they still believe in Geno?
You know, it's so hard to tell because I was actually – it's a very good question because I was actually asked my friend asked me this a couple of days ago if I thought that Geno would be the answer. And it's really hard to tell right now because – you have the lack of talent. You have guys like Salas as our number two or as our number one in games against the Lions and like the Bears and things like that. So it's very hard to tell right now, and especially right now how our offensive line is playing. When Geno has no time and the offensive line isn't showing up and we're not rushing the ball and Geno's our leading rusher with 11 yards, it's very hard to tell right now what his potential is. It's really hard. I think we're going to have to wait until the rest of the season. We're going to have to see what happens when hopefully the line starts clicking, you know, when Marty Mornowake figures out how to use his weapons like Curley, like Jason Morrow, and like Chris Johnson correctly. So I think it's very hard to tell right now, Zach, but we're going to have to wait to see the rest of the year. I think it's too early to just judge Geno and say he's not a good quarterback as of right now, because he only has, what, around like 20, 23 games under his belt right now, or somewhere around that area. So it's very hard to tell, but we're going to have to wait and see. And, Zach, I'd like to thank you for the call, though.
No problem, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right, take care, Zach.
Thanks, Zach.
You too, guys.
And let's go here. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back on Jet Nation Radio, we'll talk more about the general manager. We'll talk more about this situation. And let's go into a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick the games this week, too. My question out there is, do the Jets have a shot on Thursday Night Football? Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information using the right media. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets.
And we are back here on Jet Nation Radio. And I just like to remind everybody that JetNation.com and Jet Nation Radio is sponsored by Nimble TV. Nimble TV is a free service that lets existing cable subscribers in the Chicago and New York metro area put their channels in the cloud so they can watch it anywhere in the world on almost any device. Which means football fans can catch all their games live, even when they aren't at home. So Jets fans will never have to miss another snap again just because they weren't in front of a TV during the game. Go to NimbleTV.com to learn more. So let's dive right back into it. You know, I love the calls before talking about John Idzik, because it's time to start talking about the general manager. As players are getting hurt, as people are breaking down, you're seeing a roster that's being put out there week in and week out that's not competitive. I mean, that's the biggest problem right now, is you're going to go up against Tom Brady and the Patriots this week with your corners that probably would be practice squad or third string guys on other teams. And that's where they've been coming from. That's where they were. Not to say that you can't find a hidden gem in the late rounds of the draft or off somebody's practice squad, But this is what the Jets have right now, and this is the hand Rex Ryan and the Jets have been dealt. They're a 1-5 football team. They're going into Foxborough on Thursday night, a place where they haven't had much success other than the playoff game in the divisional round. So the big question is, again, who do you blame? And right now, my blame is on the general manager. It really is. I think that, you know, everybody says give it time. When you're in a position where you're making blatant mistakes, and I'm talking about blatant mistakes, meaning you're going into a season, you're $21 million under the cap, you're letting people walk. You're not calling agents, you're not inquiring about free agents because you don't think it fits your plan. And when your plan blows up in your face in year two, what do you do to improve it? No. I really think John Idzik might be too stubborn for his own good. I think that might be part of the problem, where he has a plan in place. He has in his mind what he thinks is best for the Jets, and it's not working. It is completely blown up in his face this year. People are pointing the fingers at him. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Again, it's easy for every Jet fan out there to voice their opinion and play general manager, but these are blatant, blatant mistakes. They're blatant draft mistakes. Again, the caller made a point of it. You're drafting all those receivers in the third and fourth round of the draft, and you've got one of them is in court, one of them's in Arizona, and one of them's on IR. Who do you blame for that, Joe? Like, how does the general manager not get a finger pointed at him for that?
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about it, Brandon. He definitely gets some blame when you go into a week against the Patriots, and you have Phillip Adams and most likely Darren Walls as your starting cornerbacks. You can't be too comfortable, and I can't evaluate his draft class yet. I think it's way too early to evaluate a draft class after 5 weeks in the NFL, but the pick of Jaylen Saunders in the fourth round definitely had my mind blown. You know, I didn't know really even who he was, and I'm usually pretty good with college football. I usually know a decent amount about the players, so there were some things that I had to question them, you know. And then, like you said before, why not bring a guy like Asante Samuel or Champ Bailey even in for a workout? Especially today, we signed a guy in Josh Thomas who was a fifth round pick in 2011. You know, he was cut. He started 12 games for the Panthers, so I understand he has some experience. But you'd rather have a guy like Josh Thomas who probably most Jets fans had no idea who he was, including me. I didn't even know of him before I Googled his name. Why bring this guy in and not even work out a guy like Champ Bailey, who doesn't even need to play in a starting or a second string role?
No.
He doesn't need to be in that position. He could be a slot corner to take over a guy like, you know, Kyle Wilson's spot, because we all know what Kyle Wilson can do. Or even to bring some leadership to the team, because obviously we need some leadership in the secondary. You have guys like Calvin Pryor who, as of right now, aren't playing great. I know it's hard for a safety to come into the NFL and make a huge impact right away. It's one of the hardest positions to adjust to. It's not like a receiver where you just run a route and you catch the ball. So there's things that are questionable. It's the skill position, Brandon. It's really the skill positions. It's the lack of depth. He signed Decker, like you said before, but what else did we do to the position before that? I mean, after Decker, it's nothing. We have guys like David Nelson who didn't play last week, but he seems to be only getting a catch or two a week or fumbling the ball out of bounds a couple times. So we have lack of talent. When you have a guy like Greg Salas, who was cut from the Eagles practice squad, you have to question him. So, you know, instead of bringing a guy like Jason Avonin, we signed a guy like Walter Powell. Like, I don't understand how we couldn't have signed guys like Jason Avon or Jericho Cottrell. It doesn't even need to be
because
a guy like
John Idzik is so draft oriented, and that was his deal. You know, he was a guy that, you know, wants to build to the draft. Okay, so in his mind, I signed Eric Decker, I pleased the fans, I went and got the big name, I pleased the owner, now I'm going to do it my way. I draft all these wide receivers. I mean, Joe, I mean, I know you're saying it's too early to judge draft class, but one of the guys he drafted is on another team. He's gone. And one of the other guys is facing criminal charges, and the other one's on IR. So you have to judge them right now. I mean, it's like what else are you taking from that draft? You got the quarterback they picked out of Clemson is not on the team anymore. I mean, it's amazing where you had all of these picks, and they don't have any – they don't even have impact players that you're going to see further down the road right now. And I don't know who you would even think to be like, well, let's wait to see this guy develop. And another thing is, why wouldn't you bring in the Jets corners that they're trotting out this week? They are, unless they are drinking every single night, okay, at all the local bars in Florham Park, these guys aren't going to be their cornerbacks next year. They're not going to trot these guys out in the secondary for the Jets next year. So you can't play the, well, let's let these guys go out there and develop, and let's let them play, and let's see what they got, you know, and let's, you know, we can reevaluate, and let's grow our talent, let's let them develop. That's what we heard this year. We want to let D. Milliner develop. We don't want to stunt his growth, so we're not going to bring in another guy. We're going to let Dexter McDougal develop. So we don't want to bring in another guy. Let's bring Dimitri Patterson in as the veteran type guy to work with these younger players. And it completely blew up in their face. Now, why wouldn't you bring in a proven veteran who, even at 50, I would say Champ Bailey at 25% is better than who the Jets have at cornerback right now. And that's the truth. And what is the risk? You're not going to stunt the growth of what, fifth string guys you're trotting out this week? It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, exactly. And if the Jets didn't have Rex Ryan as our defensive coordinator, we'd be getting blown up in the secondary. And I agree with you. You're going to see at least, you know, three or four new corners. I think the only corners that will are basically a lock to come back next year would have to be Milliner, McDougal, and obviously a guy like Darren Walls who can provide some solid depth. But you can see guys like Philip Adams.
Bad. He hasn't played bad, yeah. and give them credit. And you know what? As much as we're going to sit here and say Philip Adams, Darren Walls, and make fun of them, and you know, bash them for being practice squad backups, they played a hell of a game against Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos last week. And I give that token to the head coach who took a defense, who's out there right now. He's got nothing to work with outside of his two guys on the line, and he put together a scheme that helped Peyton Manning to his worst game since week 12 of last year. So I mean, it's such a give and take right now. I want to move forward into this week's game. I mean, it's such a do or die for the Jets. It really is. You know, they're going up against a familiar foe, Tom Brady and the Patriots. They've played them so many times. They've played them hard so many times. I mean, this whole Thursday night football thing. You talk about the players who are saying their bodies are, you know, they can't really adjust to it. It's tough on them. It's tough on their families. Blah blah. I think the Jets were really put in a tough spot when I saw this at the beginning of the year before the year even started. You're like, man, you got to play Peyton Manning and the Broncos at home and then face Tom Brady and the Patriots on the road 4 days later. It's like, what did Rex Ryan do to Roger Goodell to get this type of schedule? But I mean, you deal with the cards that you're dealt. So it's the Jets right now have to go into this game. They're a desperate team. They always play New England tough. They're going to have an extra chip on their shoulder. And guess what? This is going to be the first time Darrell Revis lines up outside of the Jets wearing a Patriots uniform, and that's going to be something to watch as well.
Oh, yeah, it's going to kill me to see Darrell Revis in another uniform. Obviously, I know he left the Jets and he had a lot of problems with the contracts and things like that, but it's still going to hurt to see him in a Patriots uniform. But we're going to see guys like Philip Adams, like Darren Walls. We're going to see if they can step up, and then you have, on top of that, you have Milliner, who's out for a year now, which is extremely unfortunate. That's a blow right to the chest. And then you have guys like Winters, who I know he's not playing well, and he's been atrocious this year so far. But now you have a fifth-round pick in Adeyabushi coming out and seeing what he can do. So we're definitely hurting at the line spot, which is one of the most important positions in the NFL, you know, in the offensive line, in the trenches. So this is going to be a tough week, but you sounded like Calvin Pace there saying that we have a tough schedule and what do you do to piss Roger Goodell off. But we're at the stretch of the murderer's row right now. You know, when I agree with you, when I looked at the schedule and I saw the Chargers, the Broncos, and then the Patriots, you know, four or five days after the Broncos game, I was shaking in my boots. So we're almost at the end, you know. Jets fans just got to breathe. We're almost there. Then after this, we get teams like Buffalo, like the Chiefs, like Miami, like the Titans. I can go on and on. So we're almost at the end. I think if the Jets can win this game and go to 2-5, there's always a chance. I think only one team, and it was the Bengals, almost 30 years ago that came out 1-5 and made the playoffs. So I really don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, like we said a couple weeks ago, all we want to see in this Broncos game was the Jets to come out and compete. And I think that the Jets came out and they competed. They showed me that they had some heart this Sunday against the Broncos. So that's what I want to see this week. I want to see him come out with a win, though. I don't want to just see some heart. I don't want to take a moral victory anymore. I want to see him put Tom Brady on his ass. I want to see the Jets score a couple touchdowns. I want to see the Jets win in the turnover battle. I don't want to see any more games with zero turnovers and us having two turnovers like we did last week. So this is a big week for us. It's a big divisional game. We've done well against Tom Brady in the past couple of years. So it's definitely a test this week to see how much heart we have, because it seems to me from the player interviews and from the coaches that the players are starting to get frustrated. So this is a do or die week. I know the Jets are 1-5 and they're most likely already out of the playoff contention. But you just want to see some heart, Brandon.
Of course, and I don't think anybody coming into this year was screaming playoffs or even being competitive for a freaking Super Bowl. I think it's just a matter of you're frustrated. Jet fans are frustrated right now because this team has they have potential, and you saw games from the Packer game. You had so many opportunities to put that game away and win it. The Bears game, you had opportunities to win it. The Lions game, you had opportunities to win it. The Chargers game, you finally get the doors blown off you and everybody's like, wow, this team stinks. Then the Broncos game, you have chances to tie it up, and you even took the lead in the beginning of the game. They're in these games. They're competing with these top teams. It's just a matter of putting it together. And the fact that they're 1-5, there's no room for error. There's no room to put it together. So I think this game is – the one thing they have going for them is divisional games are always so up in the air. They really are. There are divisional games. These opponents know each other well. They've studied so much film on these guys over the past years. Rex Ryan knows how to play Tom Brady and the Patriots. He's had success against them. I just think that they have a lot going for them that way. And I think a desperate team, as people will laugh, a desperate team is a dangerous team. The Tom Brady's coming off another good performance and win. The Patriots got a little momentum. But all that's going to take is a desperate Jets team to walk in there, a 4th-and-1, do you go for it? A turnover for points, something on those lines pass interference play down the field. Things that we've seen happen against the Jets this year. They need to go the Jets' way in order for them to come out with a victory. You're not going to go in there and face the beast and go toe-to-toe, punch for punch, Muhammad Ali versus Frazier. You're not going to win that way. You're going to need a break. You're going to need a fumble. You're going to need a pick. You're going to need something that makes you go, okay, here we go. The ball's finally, it's finally bounced in our corner. And if you don't get that, you're not going to win. But I really think that a desperate Jets team this week has a good shot to beat the Patriots. I do, and I think that it's from what you saw the Denver game, you saw Peyton Manning look frazzled. I think the Patriots compared to the Denver Broncos are not even on the same level talent-wise. I think that talent-wise, Denver is far, it's Denver and Seattle, and there's everybody else. But we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to pick our top four games of the week in the Jets game with Jet Nation Radio Picks of the Week. We'll also talk about the Patriots and Jets game and tell you who wins and why. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity, seize everything you ever wanted, one moment, did you capture it? Just let it slip. Yo.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to strategicpeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. Strategicpeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting your music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? Well, the Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. you can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
I am going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living.
Thanks, Doc!
Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And we are back off the break here on Jet Nation Radio. All right, Joe, so how did we do this week in our picks?
I believe I was 3-1 and you were 2-2. We picked the Bengals versus the Panthers game and that ended up in a tie, so I'm not going to count that for this week. But overall, as of right now, 18-11 and you're 6-6. You're 16-13, so I made up another game on you last week, so I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable this week.
That's ridiculous.
You know, I have two games on you, so I'm not sweating like I was last week. I'm really going to have to drop the ball this week to give the lead to you, but I'm ready for the picks this week. Excuse me?
I said I wouldn't be surprised, so.
I think I'm fine. I feel comfortable with my picks this week, and I'm definitely ready to get into the picks. So, Brandon, give us our first game here.
All right, let's go with it. Cincinnati goes to Indianapolis. The Colts looking like a big-time contender in the AFC. They're hosting the Bengals. Who do you like and why?
I took the Bengals last week against the Panthers, and that ended in the tie. So this week I'm going to have to go with the Colts. You know, you saw what they can do in the first half against the Texans on that Thursday night game last week. So you see some potential for them, but as of right now, they seem like an inconsistent team to me. You can't come out like the first half like you did and then come back and almost lose the game to a team like the Texans with Ryan Fitzpatrick. But a lot of that had to do with J.J. Watt and being an absolute animal because he was an animal that game. The Bengals historically haven't been a great road team, so I'm going to take the Colts and Andrew Luck at home. What about you, Brandon?
You know what? Cincinnati coming off a loss on Sunday Night Football, going in at a home game and, you know, laying another dud and missing the field goal and tying at home. I think Cincinnati wants to prove that they are still a top team in the AFC. I think the best way to do it is go on the road and beat one of the top teams in the AFC. The Colts are due for a letdown game, and this is it right here. Cincinnati goes into Indianapolis and gets the W, and I pick up one game on Joe. Kansas City goes into San Diego. Who do you like and why?
I'm going to take the Chargers in this one. I think you're going to agree with me. I don't know yet, but I think you
looking
will.
Looking at my sheet.
The Chiefs have been inconsistent. I knew last year when they were road gridding everybody that they weren't that great of a team, and they showed it at the end of the year. Their offensive line has been extremely inconsistent. Jamal Charles hasn't got the wheels turning yet. Their passing game hasn't been great. Dwayne Bowe hasn't looked good this year, and their defense that looks like a top 10, top 5 defense last year hasn't been stepping up, and as we all know, the Chargers are a good team. I know that they didn't have a great game against the Raiders last week, but they're in their division, so you expect division games are usually close. As of right now, I think the Chargers are a top 5 team, and Philip Rivers is back to his old self, and he's playing like a top 5 quarterback, and their offense is rolling with Brandon Oliver right now, who made the Jets look like a high school team. So I'm going to take the Chargers at home against the Chiefs.
I agree with you. I think San Diego's rolling right now. I really do. I think San Diego is playing like they're the San Diego Chargers of old, really. Phillip Rivers is looking like a top five QB, like you said. I think that I don't see any reason why they don't take this game at home. They played, you know, they didn't play their best game last week, but they did enough to win. That's what shows you a sign of a good team. I think San Diego at home right now is almost, you know, they're playing like they're playing like a top team. So I don't see them coming out and losing a home game this week to an inconsistent Chiefs team. The next game we're going to go with is amazing enough. I'm going to stop the Hard Knocks music to get Joe Namath's take on this. Joe, what did you think? This is for Joe Namath. What did you think of the Dallas Cowboys going into Seattle and getting a victory, Joe?
Wow.
One more time.
Wow.
I feel the same way. As Dallas gave us both a loss last week against the the Seahawks, as they walked in to the Hawks' nest and beat them. They host the Giants. I'm going with the Cowboys this week. The Giants losing Victor Cruz for the year. They got blown out on Sunday Night Football. They looked like a team that finally hit, you know, they finally played a team that was, you know, that exposed them. So I think that Dallas coming off that huge win, going into a primetime showdown with the divisional opponent and rivalry, the Giants. I think Dallas is ready for this game. They're going to take the momentum from last week. They're going to ride it at home. I like the Cowboys in this game against a Victor Cruz-less Giants. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I agree with the soundbite you did there with Joe Namath. The Cowboys have definitely made me eat my words. I thought they're going to be a bottom team, like I said last week, but they have really shown that with DeMarco Murray rolling and not injured and not fumbling, that they can really roll, and their defense is impressing me so far. And you see a team like the Giants, who a lot of New York fans are saying that can make the playoffs and et cetera, et cetera. But I look at a team who beat the Texans, who beat the Falcons, and who have beat some inconsistent teams. So I haven't seen or saw too much from the Giants the last couple of weeks. And then you see them lose a guy like Victor Cruz in, you know, at the end of the game, which was terrible. I feel extremely bad for Giants fans. That was a tragedy. And getting a little bit off track here, I was actually watching that game, and the volume was pretty loud, so I was in my living room, and I heard some Eagles fans yelling at Victor Cruz that he sucks, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I feel bad for Philly fans that they have to root against other teams that badly, and it's that important to them. So shame on Philly fans for telling Victor Cruz he sucks when he's getting carted out and he's crying. But going back to the game, I'm going to have to take the Cowboys in this one. Like you said, the Cowboys have been extremely impressive this year. I think they're going to fall off the horse eventually, but they're going to have to prove me wrong for me not to pick them this week against the inconsistent Giants team at best.
All right, let's go into our next one, our last one here outside of the Jets game. San Fran goes into Denver. I think Peyton Manning had an off game against the Jets. I like him getting back on track at home. I'm going with the Broncos.
Yeah, you don't have to put too much analysis into this. It's the Broncos. They're one of the top teams in the NFL right now. Like I said, the 49ers have been pretty inconsistent so far this year. They almost lost the game to Austin Davis and the Rams on Monday night. So the 49ers have been consistent, and the Broncos have been the top team in the NFL. So I'm definitely taking the Broncos in Denver.
All right, Joe, so you know what they say about Thursday night's game, right? I love using my soundboard. The big soundbite that we're going to use this week for the Jets game is...
Hello, you play to win the game.
It's what it comes down to. The Jets go into Foxborough. It's going to be a hostile environment, primetime Thursday night football. If the Jets, I mean, there's any time that they're going to pull out an upset, any time they're going to salvage, their season to get it back on track in some way, shape, or form, this would be the type of game. They walk into a hornet's nest on Thursday night. Who wins and why, Joe?
Like you said before, it's going to be hard to pick against the Jets. I actually do have a good feeling they're going to win. But a couple weeks ago, I said the Jets are going to have to prove me wrong for me to pick them again. So I'm going to take the Patriots in this one. But I definitely think that the Jets have a great shot to win this game. I have a feeling that they're going to come out motivated, they're going to come out pissed off, and they're going to win this game. But I'm going to take the Patriots. A positive for the Jets is you see a guy like Peyton Manning loses starting right guard and Dan Connolly, and then you see Mankins get traded, so he's losing his offensive line. You see their coach, their offensive line coach, leave the team, so their offensive line hasn't been as great as it has been in years past. So you know that guys like Wilkerson and guys like Sheldon Richardson can get to Tom Brady. Tom Brady's QBR versus the Jets the last two seasons has been 27.3, and versus all the teams, it's been 66.3. So you have faith in Rex Ryan that he definitely has a game plan that's very effective against Tom Brady. But the Jets are going to have to play again like last week, or not like last week, but they need to play almost a perfect game to beat a team in like New England, especially on Thursday night, because as history shows, we haven't been too great going into New England on Thursday night games. We're going to have to see guys like Curley, who only had one catch last week, get involved in the game plan. Marty needs to get him more involved. You're going to need to see guys like David Nelson step up. You're going to see long drives. You want to see Jason Morrow get, you know, another 10 catch, 68 yard game. You want to see them take more deep shots to him. You want to see guys like Chris Johnson more involved in the passing game, because our running backs last week were just terrible, and a lot of that falls on the offensive line. So you're going to need to see guys like Bushi and like Cologne and like Ferguson and like Mangold step up this week. We're going to get some turnovers. We can't have zero like we did last week. And then you're going to need to see the secondary step up like they did last week. So I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. I think it's going to be a close game, but I'm going to take the Patriots 27-24. What about you, Brandon?
3-point game. You know, this is the type of game where the Jets, again, it's going to be do or die. If you want to salvage anything, if you want to get some respect of the people, if you want to get respect of, you know, your fans, you're going to come out and you're going to play desperate. Again, I've said it from the beginning, a desperate team is a dangerous team. And if the Jets don't win this game, when will it happen? It's do or die for the Jets. What, you know, even regardless, we say do or die for what? You're not a playoff team. You're not a Super Bowl team. It's do or die for the fact that you got to stop embarrassing yourselves. You need to put a win up. You need to get going. It's time to get back in the win column, and I don't think the Jets would love to do it anymore against anybody else than Tom Brady and the Patriots. So this week, I am going to make up a game on Joe. I'm gonna pick with my heart and not my head. I'm gonna take the Jets in this game 24-21. I think that they get it done on the road. I think that they play desperate. They get the turnover there they've been finally looking for. They get a call. Something happens that bounces the ball in the Jets' favor. It's a short week. As everybody's saying, well, the Jets are coming off of a short week. New England's coming off of a short week as well. Anytime these teams are playing on Thursday night football, the games are sloppy. They're not as sharp. It gives the Jets a better chance to win if they come out and play a more physical game. Whoever is more physical on Thursday night will get the job done, because both teams are coming off a short week and both teams are going to be, you know, they're playing with the same amount of preparation. That could give the Jets an advantage going in on the road. Desperation time to get back in the win column, and it's time to do it against the division opponent, because if you don't win this game, the wheels will fall off the wagon. Mayo and Ridley are out for the season. It's time for them to get going. This is it. It's the Jets are going to show everybody what they're made of, or they're going to fold like a bad deck of cards in poker. Again, I want to thank everybody for listening to the show tonight. Jet Nation Radio Picks of the Week and JetNation.com is sponsored by Nimble TV. Nimble TV is a free service that lets existing cable subscribers in the Chicago and New York metro area put their channels in the cloud so they can watch it anywhere in the world on almost any device, which means football fans can catch all their games live even when they aren't at home. So Jet fans will never have to miss another snap again just because they weren't in front of a TV during the game. Go to NimbleTV.com for more. And again, the football talk does not stop on Jet Nation Radio. You want to pick the game on a short week? You want to talk about the GM? You want to talk about Rex Ryan? You want to talk all things Jets, all things football? Head over to JetNation.com. The forums are growing daily with diehard Jet fans, diehard football fans that just want to talk football. Take your office water cooler talk to JetNation.com. Talk some football. It doesn't end here. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show, and we will see you Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.